I want to welcome all of you again as we are continuing in our post-Easter sermon series entitled, Can I Get a Witness? The phrase, can I get a witness, is a rather churchy phrase that encourages people to affirm timeless scriptural truths based on their own personal experience. And in this series, we are looking at the stories from the Bible's Book of Acts to hear stories about the early church and early Christians, how they experienced the presence of the risen Christ in their lives to help create a sense of community and a spirit of boldness, the healings that they experienced and the healings that they participated in, and how they understood the expansive nature of the love of God in Jesus Christ. And as we study those stories, we are also getting a witness from some of our church family members as they are sharing their own personal stories about how God has impacted their lives in the same way that God impacted the lives of early Christians in the early church. And so today, we are going to be looking at a witness for a spirit of boldness. But before we go any further, will you pray with me, please? Holy God, not because of me, not through me, but in spite of me and all of my shortcomings, let your perfect word come to your people. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. A spirit of boldness was pervasive in the early church, and a spirit of boldness is important for us in our lives as followers of Jesus. But at the outset, I want to caution you that there is a difference between boldness and foolishness. Boldness occasionally requires a little bit of wisdom to be applied to the situation. So as an example of this, I want to share with you a story about a Marine Corps unit that I believe to be a true story. In this particular unit, there was a new captain that was assigned to the unit, and the commanding general of the base announced that he would be visiting the unit to greet the captain. Now, this is a new captain, and the commanding general is coming. That's a pretty big deal. So in preparation for the visit of the commanding general, the captain tapped a private and said to the private, I want you to stand sentry here, and as soon as you see that the general is coming, you make sure I get word so everything can be ready for him. The private, being very obedient, says, yes, sir, and stands sentry outside the building waiting for the arrival of the commanding general. Half an hour goes by, and the general hasn't shown up. And the captain's getting a little bit nervous, and so he calls out to the private and says, have you seen the general yet? Has he shown up? And the private says, no, sir, have not seen the general yet. Another half an hour goes by. The general still hasn't arrived, and the private is standing there, and the captain is nervous and calls again, have you seen the general? No, the general hasn't shown up. Now the captain is starting to pace, and he's worried. And so every 10 or 15 minutes, he checks with the private, has the commanding general shown up yet? And every time, the private has to say, no, sir, he hasn't come yet. Finally, after 2 hours, the commanding general arrives. And the private snaps at him, and I'm cleaning up the language a little bit here. It's church language and not Marine speak, okay? But the private snaps at him. Snaps at the general and says, where the heck have you been? The captain's been waiting for you. Bless his heart, right? That was not boldness. That was just being foolish. But boldness in our Christian walk is a really important thing. In the story from Acts today, Peter and John were very bold with what they said. Right before the account that Susan shared with us, Peter and John have healed a man who has been unable to walk from the time he was born. And the people witness this healing, and they witness how this man is able to walk. And the scripture tells us that they stared with wonder and awe at what had happened. And they looked to Peter and John to explain this miracle. Now, Peter and John had a couple of options. They could have kept very quiet about everything and not drawn any more attention to what was going on. They could have stayed out of the spotlight. That would have been one of their options for a way to respond. They didn't choose that option. They could have said, "Hey, yeah, look at us. Can you believe what amazing things we have done?" and drawn a lot of attention to themselves. But they did not choose that option either. Instead, their response was a bold response that turned everybody's attention back to the source of the healing, turned everybody's attention back to Jesus himself. And so when Peter is speaking to the crowd, he says, "Why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we made him walk?" And then he goes on to say, "The name of Jesus itself has made this man strong and has given him perfect health. It is to Jesus whom you should give your attention, not to us." That is a bold statement. Peter and John showed their boldness by what they said. And it's important to speak boldly in ways that draw people's attention to the love and healing power of Jesus Christ. We should also, I think, show our boldness by what we do. And sometimes even the smallest acts can have a tremendous impact in turning people's attention to the saving grace and power of Jesus Christ. If I say the name Tim Tebow, I'm sure most of you will recognize that, right? Tim Tebow is a professional athlete. He's actually playing baseball right now, but he garnered most of his fame in his college years whenever he was the starting quarterback for the Florida Gators. And he actually won the Heisman Trophy his sophomore year as a quarterback, which was phenomenal. He was the youngest player to receive the Heisman up to that point. Led the team to tremendous victory. And then when he graduated from college, he went on to play professional ball and played for the Denver Broncos. And as a Pittsburgh Steeler fan, I remember with great sadness when Denver, led by Tebow, beat Pittsburgh in overtime in one of the playoff games. But Tim Tebow has done some things using his platform as a professional athlete to help direct people's attention to the power of Jesus Christ. And we're going to see a video about that. Andrew, can you play it for us, please?
You know, there's been so many times in my life where I felt unworthy or unqualified, but God would just do something so cool in the midst of it. And one of those times was when I was a junior at the University of Florida, and we're getting ready to play Tennessee. And I see some of my teammates putting different eye blacks under their eyes, and they're putting like their mom's name or their area code under their eyes. And so I start to think, you know, I wonder if I could put something under my eyes that maybe could encourage someone or inspire someone. So I was like, well, God bless, I don't know. And then I was like, well, Philippians 4:13, I could do that. You know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I was like, that'll be good for a football player. So I put it under my eyes. We were blessed to win because it was Tennessee. And it really wasn't that big of a deal after the game. A couple local newspapers wrote about it, but it wasn't that big of a deal. But I kept wearing it under my eyes every single game. And as probably a lot of you know, Gator fans are very passionate. So 4, 5, 6 weeks later, they're selling it at the Gator bookstore, at the Florida library. You have thousands of fans showing up to games wearing Philippians 4:13 under their eyes. And I honestly believe half of them don't even know what it means. I had one guy, his name was Phil, come up to me and say, "Hey, did you wear that under your eyes for me?" It's like, no, it's a Bible verse. What are you talking about? And so we get to the SEC championship game at the end of the year, and we're getting ready to run out of the tunnel. And football's kind of one of those things where you have such tunnel vision. It's just one thing at a time, one thing at a time. And as I was getting ready to run out of the tunnel, I really felt like God was putting in my heart to change the verse. I was like, really, right now? But I realized that if we won, we'd be playing a national championship on one of the biggest stages that I might ever get. And so that would be the right opportunity to change the verse. And so we were blessed to win that game. And the next six weeks leading up to the national championship, I was agonizing and really contemplating what verse I was going to go with. And God kept bringing it to my heart and my head, John 3:16, because it's the essence of our Christianity. It's the essence of our hope. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. It's what gives us hope as Christians. So I decided to go with that. And so 2 days before the game, I went up to my parents' hotel room in Miami, Florida. I was like, Mom, Dad, I've decided to change the verse. I'm going to go with John 3:16. My mom's super sweet and supportive. Oh, that's great, honey. My dad's like, well, have you told Coach Meyer? Because he says he just likes his routines, but that dude is so superstitious, it's ridiculous. So he's like, you really need to tell him. So we were right down the street at FAU practicing. We finished our last practice for a national championship. I said, hey, Coach Meyer, can I talk to you for a second? He's like, yeah, how you feeling? Your arm good, leg good, you ready for the game? I was like, yeah, I'm good. You know the verse I'm wearing? He's like, yeah, Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, strengthens me. I love it. I was like, well, I'm going to change that verse tomorrow night. What? What are you talking about? You can't change that verse. That verse got us here. It didn't get us here. So after a couple minutes of explaining it to him, he totally was supportive and understood. And honestly, after that, I didn't even really think about it. I just went out there and tried to win the championship game. We were blessed to win. And 2 days later, I was at Ballyhoo Restaurant in Gainesville, Florida, with me, my mom, my dad, my aunt, and Coach Meyer. And probably some of you have been to Ballyhoo's. And I was just sitting there eating a grouper. And Coach Meyer gets a call. And he's like, All right, bye. And I was like, who is that? He said, that was Steve McClain. Here's our PR guy at Florida. So what do you have to say? He said, did you know that during that game, 94 million people Googled John 3:16? And honestly, my first thought was, how the heck do 94 million people not know John 3:16? Hashtag Sunday school. It's like the first thing you hear, you know? But I was just sitting in Ballyhoo Restaurant, just so humbled at how big the God is that we serve and how he wants to do amazing things in us and through us. And when we just step out and show a little faith or a little courage, or we just decide, hey, it's okay to be a little bit different than everybody else, what God can do in our lives. And that game just happened to be in 2009, January 8th. Well, exactly 3 years later, January 8th, 2012, we just happened to be playing the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I never even thought about John 3:16 one time, so I can't take any credit for it. I just tried to go out there and win a playoff game, and we were blessed to win this crazy playoff game in overtime. And I run in and try to, you know, shower really quick and change because I wanted to go celebrate with my family. So I'm running to go and do my press conference really quick because I love talking to the media. And right before I walk into the press conference room, Patrick, our PR guy, jumps in front of me. He says, Timmy, do you realize what happened? I was like, yeah, we just beat the Steelers. We're going to play the Patriots. Like, let me do this. He's like, no, do you realize what happened? I was like, I guess not. He said, Timmy, it's exactly three years from the night you wore John 3:16 under your eyes. I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. And he was like, no, you don't realize. During the game, you threw for 316 yards. Your yards per completion were 31.6. Your yards per rush were 3.16. The ratings for the night were 31.6, and the time of possession was 31.06. And during the game, 90 million people Googled John 3:16, and it's the number one trending thing on every platform. And I was just standing there in that hallway getting ready to do this press conference thinking that night was about a football game. And it really wasn't, because the God that we serve is such a big God. And standing in that hallway, I knew that it was something so much more. Because the God that we serve is a God of miracles, as we're going to hear today. And it's a God that does pretty amazing things in us and through us. And I think we just have to be willing to step out and say, here you go, God, I'm going to give you my fish and my loaves of bread and watch what he does with them. But the God we serve can do pretty awesome, amazing things.
It's a little thing, you know, some eye black and a couple scripture verses. But the little things that Tim Tebow did, he did with boldness. And God worked through that and did something miraculous. We are to be bold in what we say, as Peter and John were in the scripture from Acts. We are to be bold and witness to our faith in the little things that we do. And we heard about that in the Tim Tebow account. I think most important is to be bold in how we live. As we were talking about the importance of a witness and God's stories, Rob Lester shared with me a story about how some people living their faith boldly, day in and day out, had made a huge impact on him. And so Rob is going to share his God story with us this morning. Thanks, Rob.
After hearing Tim Tebow, they'll be hard to compare to that. When it comes to terminology, I really want to understand the true meaning of boldness. So I looked it up and Googled it like everybody else. The internet is a way of the future. But in it, it said, the definition of boldness is an attitude of a strong confidence in God, such that godly things are said and done openly without fear and consequences. Well, in 1996, I had my own construction business. And when you're in business, sometimes you make bad estimates and bad decisions. Well, I was struggling because I made bad estimates, and not financially. So I was working 70 to 80 hours a week trying to make up for it. The doctor said, you got to do something different. Your health is not good. You're aging faster than you age. Your blood pressure is high. For a man in his 30s, you shouldn't be doing all this. So by November, I said, I'm tired of this. I'm going to go try to work for someone else. It's got to be a lot better. So I had a sister in Manassas, and I came out here. She said, but there's plenty of jobs. She said, so I came out here. Within 1 week, I had 3 job offers. And most of my experience at that time was in restoration and renovation. So I went with a company that was their specialty. They did a lot of insurance restoration plus new construction. But so I worked there, and after I worked there about a week, the owner came up and invited me to church. And so I went to church that Sunday. Then I seen a lot of other people, co-workers and management there, and they all said, glad to see you. Then the next week while I was working, they all came up and said, I hope to see you in church. And then other people from other churches. It was like all these people was caring about me. But then I come to find out that this was their policy. This was what their focus was on. Their focus was that everyone in their company have a relationship with God. Every day they prayed for everyone in the company. Every day they prayed that God would guide them in the right directions. Now, I prayed for God to help me with the situation. I didn't realize how much it would affect, how much them decisions really made a difference. But the encouragement, the boldness of them, it helped my relationship with God grow. I couldn't ask for a better situation. I mean, I went through a complete life struggles and changes and everything. And the thing they taught me that God was there with you the whole time, and God would be there with you. They believed it. They showed it. And it really helped me. I owe a lot to them for being in my life. But at the same time, I think, again, God answers prayers. And I'm very, very blessed from these. I couldn't ask for a better impact on my life. And the boldness of them to be out forthright in every business decision, to put God first and business second. That's very unusual. But that's my story on boldness. Hope you like it.
they were consistently bold in how they lived their faith and how they lived their lives. Inviting employees to come to church, that's a very unusual thing to have happen in this day and age. Praying for every employee in that company every day, that's a bold step. And it had a huge impact on Rob's life. And Rob has had a huge impact on all of us. We are to be bold in what we say. We are to be bold in the things that we do. Most of all, we are to be bold in how we live. So my challenge for you this week is to be bold. Are you willing to be bold by what you say or what you choose not to say, so that your words will reflect the love of Jesus Christ to the world around you? Are you willing to be bold by the little things that you do so that small deeds will be done with great love and will point people towards Jesus? And are you willing to be bold in how you live so that you might have an impact on someone else? Be bold. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, you have not given us a spirit of fear, but you have given us a spirit of boldness. Help us step out in faith and act boldly so that we might share your saving love with a hurting world. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, Amen.